Well, it's good to be here. As I say, it was a little bit of a short notice for me today, so I'm going to say thank you very much to Alistair for letting me borrow his slides, because Alistair's speaking on the same subject at Gate Central today. So I'm very grateful that I had a kickstart by being able to borrow his slides. So as you know, if you've been here the last few weeks, we are kind of exploring together the vision of the church, the vision that God has given us as a group of people, the things that he's spoken to us about who we are and what we're to be. And we started that series a few weeks back, so I'm going to do a little recap on the things that we've covered already. And then today we're going to think about what it means to be people that bring redemption, the redeeming part of our vision. But you'll see that in just a minute. If I can have the next slide, please. This is just a reminder of our vision as a community here, as the Gate Church, that we are renewed by the Father's presence. We are an apostolic church, redeeming people, communities, and culture. And it's that last bit that we're focusing on particularly today, but I'm going to recap just briefly on some of the other things. And you can see there the list of the values that we hold to as a church. I was part of the leadership training here yesterday. Some members of this community and the other communities across the gate were training in how to be leaders in the church. And as part of that, we were exploring this vision, and somebody said to me, well, how did you get the vision? How do you know that that's what God wants for you? And I explained that over the many, many years that this church has existed, God has spoken at different times. So nobody woke up one day and said, this is what God's just spoken to me. This is a summary of the different things that God has spoken to different people over a long period of time. Like Sue and Gary, I've been in this church 40 years. And so God's spoken a lot in that time. And this is the leader's attempt to summarize. This is what God has said, who we are, and what he wants to do in and through us. So we're a church renewed by the Father's presence, first and foremost. We've had the joy of learning that there is no better place to be than in the presence of our loving Heavenly Father. Jesus came to make a way, and that was our way back to the Father. In 2008, we were blessed to receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in which people from across the nation came to experience and receive the love of the Father. And it became known as Times of Refreshing. And then in 2016, we received a second outpouring, which led to a passion and a desire amongst his people here to be those that would share the gospel of Jesus Christ and make sure that we knew how to tell people how they could be saved. So that, like that pastor went to Vivian's friend's grandparent and was able to explain the dream and explain how you can connect with Jesus, that we would know how to do that and we would be empowered to do that and we would do it. So it was a very exciting time, renewed by the Father's presence. And we believe that we can bring the kingdom of God to our communities, to our town, and to nations. Now, being apostolic simply means that we believe that as we pray, as Jesus teaches us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that as his church we are sent and we carry the kingdom to wherever we are. We believe that as we serve Jesus in those places, he will bring about change. And we have the privilege in this community of being able to serve him across nations through different ministries. And we press into the presence of Father God so that we know where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. And then we come to redeeming people, communities, and culture. So when man fell, creation was subjected to like a frustration because human beings were sinful. We were sinful. We went against the things of God. And the earth was given to man, had been given to man to look after. But because we sinned, it was like that authority was given away. But when Jesus died on the cross, through his full and complete work, he took that authority back and he gave it to, when he gave it back to us, so that we can walk in authority on this land. We can do the work of God amongst the people. So our apostolic call is to go into the world and to bring Jesus and his redemptive power wherever we go. This means that people will come to know Jesus as their Savior and become disciples because we go and we help them to know him. Communities will be served and with love and sacrifice, and situations and circumstances will change because each one of us is called to be a priest wherever we are, whether that's in our own home, our workplace, our school, any social activity that we might be involved with. Wherever we are, we bring the kingdom of God into those places if we belong to him. We're filled with his Holy Spirit and connected with our Father. Ultimately, success looks like you being equipped to fulfill the destiny that God has for your life as part of this wider community that are seeking to do the same. Changing earth by bringing the values and the culture of God's kingdom around us. It's not just for leaders, it's for every single one of us. Whatever age we are, from the youngest to the oldest, we heard lovely testimony this morning from one of our younger members of the community, which I thought was wonderful because God is at work through our oldest members and our youngest members. So this slide here, what does it look like as we work it out in our church, in the community, and across the nation? I don't know who created those little symbols, but I like them. I've not seen them before. We want to be discipling strong Christians. We want to be addressing the practical, emotional, and spiritual needs in our local community. And we want to be resourcing the church in the UK and beyond. Wow, what an amazing vision. Do you know, it's a good job we've got a big God, isn't it? Because I read that and I go, wow, I don't know how we do that. But we have a big God. And if we can say amen, this is what God wants to do, he will take us in our weakness, in our small corner, and he puts us all together and achieves incredibly awesome things through us as a community of people. But it all starts with renewal of us by the Father. We're not called to do it on our own strength. We couldn't do it, could we? It's too big. We'd get worn out. We'd get exhausted. I love that Bible verse that says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We are a people of God. We need to learn how we wait on the Lord so that our strength is renewed and we only do the things that the Father asks us to do. So if we can move on to the next slide, please. Where is our focus? Where is our focus? See this picture here? Very stressed people. Busy, lots of work, lots of things to think about, lots of situations going on. This picture on the left, a child enjoying the presence of his father. It's just a reminder. It's just a reminder. Sometimes we can get bogged down with the day-to-day activity. And I know a couple of weeks ago Alistair preached some of this. It's just a reminder to us to take that time each day. Do you remember he challenged us? He said, will you take 20 minutes where you go aside? It might be that you go for a walk. It might be that you sit in your room. However you encounter God, but you make time to meet with the Father every day. Because it changes everything. It changes how we go about the rest of the day. It changes how we view other people. It changes a bit of time with the Father, connected with him, changes everything. So I'm going to ask if we can move on to our next slide. We're looking now at what it means to be a redemptive people. We say that we're a community redeeming people, communities, culture. Everywhere we go, we're meant to bring redemption. We're meant to be part of that redeeming of the world in which we live. So what is redemption? What does it mean? What is it? Redemption is at the absolute heart of the gospel. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brought redemption. Because none of us is good enough. That dream that Vivian shared this morning. We're all like that. Before Jesus Christ, we're all like that lady in that dream. We're all far from God. We're all living in our sin, living in bondage, living trapped in the ways of the world. And then Jesus Christ. We all deserve punishment. We all deserve death, but Jesus Christ. I love the illustration of a courtroom where we're stood before the judge and not one of us is good enough. Not one of us deserves to be in the presence of the Father. And then Jesus comes into the room. And Jesus says, I take all the punishment that you deserve. That's what it's like. That is redemption. That is him paying the price for what I deserve. And that dream this morning actually helps us see that even more clearly. Redemption only through Jesus Christ and what he did for us. So if we can have the next slide, please. Thank you. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. That word, redemption, if you look at that word and you look what it originally was, the original Greek word, it was, I don't know that I'm going to pronounce it properly, apolutrosis, and it means a release effected by payment of a ransom. So somebody is in absolute bondage and they are released because somebody else pays a ransom for them. And there's no way that they could be released otherwise. That is redemption. And it was Jesus who was our Redeemer, who paid that ransom. So we can look at our life and we can say we are believers in Jesus Christ. But we are redeemed. We can stand before our Father. We can have that relationship with God the Father without being afraid, because Jesus. We sang, didn't we? What the powerful name of Jesus. It's only by him. If we can have the next slide, Ephesians chapter 1. So much scripture where that word comes up, redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Whoa, we are so privileged. What a privilege. What a privilege. Makes me want to get down on my knees and say, God, I don't deserve any of it, but thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Surely, the next slide, please. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Because, you know, that redemption, it's not just about being set free from the consequences of our sin. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. It goes to him taking, healing our wounds. It goes to him healing our bodies, our minds, our emotions. It goes to him transforming family circumstances and situations that we might find ourselves in. He set us free from our sin, but he continues to work redemption in our lives and in our circumstances. Because, you see, the enemy steals and he robs and he destroys. And you might look back at your life, you might look back at your family line, and you might be able to see the places where the enemy has come in, Satan has come in, and he's robbed and he's stolen and he's made sick and he's made poverty and he's done all sorts of evil things. Jesus is the Redeemer of everything. He works through our lives and he restores the things that the enemy has robbed and taken and stolen. And we're all on that journey with him as we connect with him and as we allow him to do that in our lives. He heals, he saves, he restores. It's all part of his redemption. So that is what it is to be redeemed. We have been redeemed. We are in the process of being redeemed, but we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So then, what do we do with that incredible gift that God's given us? We become those that go into the world and show that redemption to others and take redemption into the lives of other people, that they too might taste and see, they too might know that full salvation of Christ. So if we can look at the next slide, it says, we are Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of the ruling government, of the ruling nation in another country, to represent the values and the interests of the other nation. So if you and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are citizens of heaven, and we are God's representatives here on this earth. We are his ambassadors, and we live to demonstrate his way of life, his kingdom, and we live to restore and redeem and promote his way of doing things, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So 2 Corinthians 5, I'm just going to read this scripture as well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That was Paul speaking, saying, I am an ambassador of Christ, and I appeal to you to be reconciled with God. That's who we are too. We go into the world as an ambassador of Christ, appealing to people that they would be reconciled to God. Now, the next slide I can't speak to. This is one of Alistair's slides. So I'm going to speak to an illustration that I can speak to. Because, you know, you and I, we make a difference wherever we are. And the first illustration I want to give is, I just want to honor Gary and Sue, because what they're doing when they run that marriage course, and when they have run that marriage course, they are bringing the redemptive purposes of God into marriages. Because, you know, however good our marriage is, we all need a little of adjustment from time to time. And I remember when I did the marriage course, the same thing that Gary said spoke to him really spoke to me. It really spoke to me, and it really helped me and Nathan in our marriage. That when we have a problem, instead of sitting opposite each other and saying, I don't like it when you do that, or when you do this, it makes me feel like that. No, we sit next to each other and we say, we've got a problem because when you do this, I feel like that. The problem is over there. The problem's not him. The problem's not me and the way I do things. We've got a problem together, and the problem's here. That changed my marriage, just to think about it in that way. Because it gives us a different way. It gives us a more godly way of looking, because God says we're one. So if there's a problem, it's our problem, and we have to work it out together. It's a kingdom mindset that doesn't blame each other, but says, this is how do we solve this together? And Gary and Sue, they help people in their marriages to have a more, have a God's mindset, God's way of functioning. And so they are bringing redemption into marriage. God wants to redeem marriages and make them even better than they are, because his way is always the best way. And so Gary and Sue take that call. God has spoken to them and said, yeah, you've got something special in your marriage and you can help other people with their marriage. That is them bringing redemption in the world. They are helping redeem marriages. It's a beautiful illustration. And we've all got places that we can do this, because we're all in different spaces and times in our life. A time in my life where I really saw this happening for me was, I used to work for an agency called Christians Against Poverty. We used to help families out in the community. Many of them did not know Jesus at all. And we used to visit them because they had such extreme debt. They couldn't pay their bills. They couldn't, some of them didn't have enough money to put food on the table and feed the children. And can you imagine the pressure, the financial pressure? Some people would stay inside their house and draw the curtains, too scared in case someone was going to come and knock on the door to demand the money to pay the bill, that they had no money to pay the bill. And there's such fear in the home. And we used to visit, and we used to say, and we used to let them tell us all about all the financial debt that they had, all the worry, all the stress. And we used to consult with people who had the expertise to help them. And we would come back and we would give them a plan. And we would say, if you do this, we will help you. We will walk with you. We will be your friend. We will stand by you. But we will, if you can stick to this plan, we're going to help you get out of debt. That was redemptive. That was people, and it wasn't just me that did it. Other people from there, it was a whole ministry of the church at the gate at that time. Members of the church would just go, and then we would love people and we would give them a plan and we would help them do that journey out of debt. And when we first walked into the house, they were living in fear and pain and stress, and over time we were able to change that. You see the atmosphere change in their home as hope begins to come in, that this could change. It doesn't have to stay like this. It's about bringing hope. As I was thinking about my message this morning, it's about hope. The message to marriages where there's a struggle going on, there is hope. And Gary and Sue are really well equipped to help people find hope for marriage. In that season when I was working to help people with their finances, we brought hope into their lives. They began to believe, I don't have to keep hiding in my house. I can find a new freedom. The beautiful thing about working for that organization was on the first visit, we would say to people, I don't know whether you believe in Jesus or not, but we do. And we would love to pray for you because we believe that he wants to help you. Would you like us to pray for you? And most people said, yes, please. And have you ever prayed for somebody who is so stressed and so afraid, and you just invite Jesus to come and to help them as they do this journey? And you watch that fear and you watch the anxiety just lift off them. That's redemption. That's bringing the good news of Jesus. That's changing the atmosphere and changing the environment, because we take Jesus with us into the room. And everywhere that we go, whoever you are, wherever you spend your time, you take Jesus into the room with you. You bring hope. You have the means to bring hope to your work colleagues, to your neighbors, to your other parents at the school gate, because you are empowered by Christ to be his ambassador. So I am going to jump the next slide as well. Yeah, jump that one. And we'll jump that one. Thank you. Okay. This one. Yeah, jump that one. Skip that one. Okay. Of course, we can only be an influence for the kingdom of God if we allow the Holy Spirit to be our main influence. If our connection and our relationship with Father God is our main influence. There are so many other things in this world that can influence her. I am guilty of spending too much time on my mobile phone, looking at social media, being influenced by all sorts of things of the world and perspectives of the world. And I don't want to be ignorant of what is going on in the world. But is my thinking, are my values, are my attitudes in line with what the Bible says are God's attitudes and God's way of being? So that when we go into a room, we influence the people in that room more with the gospel than we allow them to influence what's going on. You know, I've heard people say, well, my workplace is so horrendous. There's swearing, there's this, there's that. I hate my workplace. I want to get out. And sometimes God doesn't let you get out. Because sometimes God says, no, you change the atmosphere. No, you bring something different. You make it a different place. You show Jesus in that place. I used to work for a local authority years ago. Now, I never made a huge difference. I didn't think. But when I left, somebody came to me and said, we're going to miss you, because one thing I've noticed about you, don't talk about anybody else behind their back. That to me was, it's a tiny little thing. But we don't run people down behind their back. We love people. We speak well of people because God loves them and God speaks well of them. And so just by adopting that little attitude, I was bringing a change in my office. Because people noticed. And it made people feel they respected it, they liked it. They realized it was a better way than gossiping and being nasty about people. It's just, to me, it was just a tiny little thing. But it's part of that same call. If you remember Isaiah 61, that passage where Jesus talks about him being anointed to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring freedom and release to prisoners and captives. If you don't know that scripture, when you get home, sit down and read it, Isaiah 61. Jesus was talking about himself. It's repeated in the New Testament when Jesus quotes it and says, this is me. It's prophesied in Isaiah. Jesus reads it and says, this is who I am. But you know, one day I sat at home and I read that, and Jesus said to me, the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is in you. So I am anointed to preach good news. I am anointed to proclaim freedom to the captive. I am anointed to bring release for bondage, to see people healed. And it's the same for you. You can read the beginning of that chapter, Isaiah 61, those first verses, and you can say, I am anointed to do these things. Because we are all called to be ambassadors for Christ and to change the environments in which we live by representing him well, by allowing, but not in our own strength, all because we spend time with our Father and it flows through us. It flows through us because he changes us and makes us more like him. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. What a refreshing message.